It's just me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am in Isaiah chapter number 53 and going to start reading at verse number 1. Was planning to preach, to teach something completely different. And last night as I was praying, I felt this. I didn't feel necessarily to preach or to teach it tonight. And then today when I was in the sanctuary praying, I felt it was for tonight. Praise God. So Isaiah 53 and 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And this is what I want to talk about here tonight. And with his stripes we are healed. Amen. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, we have two different series going on, and typically on Wednesday nights, I'm preaching about the pattern and the purpose and the power through prayer and the tabernacle. And then Sunday nights, I've been talking about the in defense of, and we've talked about in defense of the church, in defense of worship a few times. And so tonight, I want to preach about in defense of praying for the sick. Amen. In defense of praying for the sick. Would you help me just ask the Lord to help us here tonight? God, we love you. We need you tonight. I pray, Jesus, that you would move in this place. God, you see what our subject, our topic is here tonight. I feel, Lord God, that you have laid this upon my heart. And what greater way to express this, Lord, than that the healing power and the virtue of your Spirit would come amongst us, God, and that you would touch and that you would heal the saints of the Most High here tonight, God. And let there be a witness of the Spirit, and I pray that most of all, that faith would come into this house somewhere, someplace, at some point in time in this message tonight, that faith would come into this place, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I am rather astounded by some of the things that I have heard here of late and some of the things that I have read even today and reading through this. But last week, a little over a week ago, I sat at breakfast with a man and we began to talk about the Bible, and we began to discuss things. And they had at some point in time at their church, they had an individual, a minister, come through, preached about, according to his words, was things that are very hard to believe. And the younger generation, they were so far removed from that, the younger generation did not believe that it happened. And so after asking this minister if he had some proof of it and seeing some of the pictures that they had and such, then the younger generation began to believe. And I told this man, I said, you know, you don't have time for me to tell you of all the things that I have seen. And, you know, in the book of Acts chapter number 4, Peter and them, the apostles, were talking, and they were speaking of their testimonies of things that had happened. And they said, we can only speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And so I know that I could take an extended period of time to speak of the things that I have seen, the things that I have experienced, and I give God all of the praise for that. I've seen the dead raised 3 times and should have seen it a 4th time. A snowstorm caught us, and we were not there during when that had happened. But I preached. I even preached it here a little over a year ago, The Method to My Madness, and the reason that I am so intense a lot of times is because that there is a younger generation that if we as the present generation, if we do not push for these things, then the younger generation, we push for them to continue, then the younger generation will have nothing but a story to tell of what they have heard, but that they have never seen. And so I I prayed, I preached, I pushed to be able to see these things, and my children have. They have seen many miracles, and it's going to be up to them to press and to push for the future generation, lest the future generation would be the ones that would only hear the stories told of yesterday. Some of the reason is because that we no longer have to have the faith that our forefathers have had. And living through the Great Depression, and not just the Great Depression. We understand that miracles and signs and wonders have got to stay alive from generation to generation. But from the Great Depression and further, of how that they had to pray for God to do things. They had to pray that even the chickens would lay eggs and pray for the vehicles and such. And I heard an individual one time mention something and say, you know, God has nothing to do with starting a vehicle or anything else like that. You know what? You've come too late to tell me that. You've come too late to tell me that. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, my God cares about what I care about. And I'm just telling you today that when you care about the things of God, then He's going to care about that your things. Amen. When you put God first and put God's business first, He's going to put you first. And balanced and in order and such, but I will tell you, I you don't have time for me to tell you about the times that one time in particular we had to have a pickup, it had to be moved and it would not start, and so the pastor at the time just looked out at me and he said, lay hands on that thing and pray for it. And so I just did. I just laid hands. I said, Jesus, you know, we need this thing to start, and we need it to go in Jesus' name right now. And he just turned and boom, cranked right up, and then he just kind of moved it out of the way and such. I grew up extremely poor, extremely poor. And we didn't have the Goodyear tires. We didn't have the BF Goodwrenches or anything. We had the Maypops. And some of you don't know what those are, and it may pop and it may not. But you know, when the wire is sticking through the tire, it may pop. And so anyways, we just had to pray. We just had to pray that God would keep His hand upon us. And you know, when you're driving 100 miles to church one way, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. Amen. Praise God. God cared about our tires. God cared about our gas gauge. And I still don't know how we went, it was over 100 miles because we put, I don't even remember how many cents we had. We didn't even have a dollar, but we had some cents. I should have wrote this down a long time ago so that I'd remember, but I didn't have cents to write it down. And so you got that one. But anyways, we just had some cents, and we just put cents in the gas tank, and I was like, it's just got to work. And we just prayed over it and took off, and we drove all the way home. Mom got up the next day, took us to school. She went to work, and when she got paid, she went and put gas in the vehicle. And just that few cents that we had there, God is able to make it to work. Amen. And then we get into ailments and sicknesses and such. And in those days, there was not the known medicinal world that there is today. And today, you know, there is a medicine for everything. And you go to the grocery store and you can find a medicine for everything. And you go to the doctor and you can get a prescription medicine for everything and such. And you know, back in those days, they didn't know those things. They didn't have those things. But what they did have to have was prayer and faith. And so they would pray for the sick and they would recover. And you know, I've seen cancer healed. I've experienced miraculous things that have happened because of the power of prayer. And again, to God be all of the glory for these things. But I'm just simply saying that somewhere or another, the apostolic movement cannot allow this to fall by the wayside. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's not God's will. It's not God's will for His church to be a sickly church. And I'm not talking about spiritual sickness as well either. But the Bible specifically says that by His stripes, with His stripes, we are healed. Amen. And so we must remember that, and we must keep that about us. And we're going to get into that, and I hope I don't get ahead of myself too much here tonight. And then probably the best thing for me to do is just follow my notes and go from there. But anyways, the Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? And that word infirmity does mean sickness. It does mean his, whatever it is, it's not his well-being. That's exactly what that means. The spirit of a man will sustain his sickness and his ailment. And so for an individual that is in God, and you say, you know, how can people face these things? How can people go through these things and stuff? But the spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. And that's why we see people that have diseases, that have different things wrong with them, whether it's arthritis, whether it's cancer, whether whatever it is. If an individual is always in the mully grubs and always dragging about, then their spirit is not going to get them through the rough times. But you find a person that is traditionally or usually up and about, and they're gonna have some hard times. They're gonna have some low times, but their spirit will bleed through, and they will find true blue through and through, that it will keep them through those times. And again, I can speak concerning those that have gone on before us, that have passed away due to cancer or due to whatever it is and such. One individual that was in our church back in Katy, and he died of cancer, but he never badmouthed God. He never accused God. He never charged God foolishly and such. And as I was around Brother Sparks in some of his last days, he spoke positively. He spoke about the goodness of God. He spoke about the memories that he had of God. And one that I'll never, ever forget was that when he was coming to salvation, his wife had been in the church for years, and so he had gotten to where he would bring her to church, and then he would leave. And when the pastor would go out and try to catch him, he'd peel out in that gravel parking lot trying to hurry and get out of the way and get out of the church. But finally, he came into church one day during revival, and he stood there pretty stoically, and the preacher gave an altar call, and he came up to the front, and he had his hands crossed in front of him, and he was just standing there. The preacher went over there to him, and he asked him, he said, "Sir," he said, "would you like to become a Christian?" He said, "No, sir, I'm an American." And that was the beginning of Brother William Sparks and the stories that he began to tell about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and such. But his spirit carried him through his infirmity. And so there was at the breakfast table a little over a week ago, the man asked me, he said, "So how do you explain of how that God would heal one person but would not heal another person?" And you can't. You can't explain it. You really can't. You can't explain it. But I will tell you what I feel, and that is that I personally feel that God knows what we can take and what we cannot take. And He knows what we can bear, and He's not going to put anything on us that we cannot bear. And so He's not going to put a sickness upon us that we cannot bear. And therefore, in the book of Hebrews, we see, I believe it's in chapter number 12, we see that the Bible says that there, is so great a cloud of witnesses unto us. And that just simply goes and simply means that those that have gone on before us and have experienced some of the same things that we have experienced, and there are angels and such that know that, and they're encouraging us, such a great cloud of witness. You know what? You can make it. You can get through this. You can come through this because others have as well. And so we feel that. You say, well, how do I know that? It's because if I asked anybody in here, can you tell me of an individual that has passed away that did not receive their healing, all of us would have a name. All of us would be able to tell, would be able to say, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so. Okay, and because that we know that, then the affirmation and the testimony is, I can make it. I can make it. I can come through. I can make it. And so I began to dig into this and began to look and began to study. And I was, I just use an old Southern vernacular, I was flabbergasted by what I was reading and how that the commentators have basically explained all of these things away. They explained every one of them away. And the reason that they have to explain them away is because that they have never experienced them. And because that they have never experienced them, then it must not be true. And so they explain away the roles of the fivefold ministry, and that the role of the prophet and the role of the... My mind just went blank. They basically believe that the role of the pastor and the teacher are the only ones that are in operation in this day. So the roles of the prophet and the roles of the evangelist and such, they're not in operation any longer. And the apostle, the role of the apostle, that it's not in operation any longer and such. I've got my beliefs upon that and such, and it's because they don't know. They've never experienced the role of a prophet. They've never seen such a one in action or so. We begin to take a look into these things, and then they get into the gifts of the Spirit, and because the fivefold ministry is obsolete, well then the gifts of the Spirit are obsolete, and we don't have any of those any longer, and they're not in operation and such, and so they just explain it all away. And you know what? I don't believe that there is a certain individual that we would be able to call a healer, but I believe that the gifts of the Spirit operation in whomsoever. I believe that they inhabit the church, that they are in the church, and that they can move, and that the ones that are sensitive and respond to it, living right, can be used in these gifts and stuff. And so we get into this, and one of those is the gift of healing and the gift of faith and such. But let us move on, so that's because I'm already on page 3. Praise God. But the gifts of healing, would just be divine healings, either instantaneously or progressively for various types or physical and mental diseases. And so we understand that a miracle is pretty much immediately. It just happens. It's and it may not happen today, but all of a sudden when it does happen, it happens. It's done. It's finished. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But then there is healings. And healings don't necessarily happen instantaneously, but they happen over the course of time. And so, you know, when your body heals due to a wound or an infection or something, it takes days for that to happen. And so there are the gifts of healing. Now, as we get into this, we know that Christ purchased healing for our body by all that he did. And the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now let me just take some time and let me just go through some of this and just to show you the healings that God purchased for us and that he accomplished here upon the earth. Bible said, and I'm going to move through this real quickly, in Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 16, that when evening time was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. We also see in the book of Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 3, Jesus healed the leper. Verse 13, he healed the centurion's servant. In verse 15, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 2, he healed a man of palsy. Verse 22, he healed the woman with an issue of blood. Verse 25, he brought back the ruler's dead daughter. Verse number 30, he healed two blind men. In verse 35, Jesus went about all of the cities and the villages teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 1, God gave power to the disciples over unclean spirits and to heal all manner of sickness and disease. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 4, go and tell John the things which you see or which you do see and hear. Verse number 5, he said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 13, Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. Verse 15, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Verse 22, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man who was also blind and dumb and spake, and this man would speak and he would see. Matthew chapter number 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus hears of John the Baptist beheading and departs into the desert. And when the people hear it, they follow. And when Jesus sees the multitude, he is moved with compassion. And he begins to teach them. The Bible said he healed their sick. Verse 35 and 36, upon arriving at Gennesaret, Jesus begins to heal all that were diseased. And all they wanted him to do was just to touch them. And as many as he touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 28, the woman from Canaan's daughter was made whole. 29 and 30, Jesus goes into the mountain until the multitude follow him with the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And the Bible said that Jesus healed them all. Matthew chapter number 17 and verse 14, Jesus comes to the multitude, and a lunatic is brought unto before him. The disciples could not heal the man, but Jesus cast the devils out of the man, and he is made whole. Matthew chapter number 19, verse 1 and 2, Jesus heals the multitude sickness in Galilee. Chapter number 20 and verse 30, Jesus healed two blind men. And so this is just in one of the Gospels, and there are other Gospels that record other things. But when you begin to think about the multitudes that came unto Jesus and the numerous people that came unto Jesus different times, and the Bible said that he healed them all. And so he purchased healing for the body through his crucifixion. And the Bible also teaches us that he gave believers authority to lay hands upon the sick for their recovery. Praise God. Amen. He gave believers authority to lay hands upon the sick for their recovery. I don't care if somebody has never seen it happen before. I don't care if they've never even heard it. I don't care if they believe it or they don't believe it. It does not change the fact that Jesus gave the believers authority to lay hands upon the sick. And just because they want to excuse it, and just because they want to justify their lack of praying or their lack of faith and make excuses and stating that it was just for apostolic days. And my words are, if you can tell me in the Bible, if you can show me in the Bible where these things have ceased, then I might begin to consider. Amen. But one thing that I would have to get beyond in all of this considering is the times that I have seen it happen. The times, amen, that I have laid hands upon the sick and seen them recover. I walked into a Bible study one evening. many years ago, and their young son was burning up with a fever and had a fever for several days. And so they asked me, they said, would you be willing to pray for our son? I said, absolutely. And so we got some oil, and we went into that living room where little Jake was laying upon the couch. I anointed that little boy with oil and began to pray the prayer of faith. And we went back into the kitchen, and we had our Bible study. About 7/8 of the way through that Bible study, Jake appears in the doorway. And he walks up to his mom and cuddles up with his mom. As some 7, 8, 9 years of age. And his mom immediately reaches around and grabs his forehead and looks at us. And with tears in her eyes, she said, his fever is broke and it's gone. Amen. And Jake was healed. Amen. Because of that. Amen. You've come too late to tell me that it does not work. I still believe in prayer. I still believe in praying for the sick. I still believe in laying hands upon the sick and watching them recover. Praise God. Amen. You say, does it happen every time? Amen. I'm not the one that heals. God's the one that makes that choice. Amen. But I will tell you that every time I lay hands upon somebody, I'm expecting them to be healed. I'm expecting something to change. I'm expecting a testimony to come about in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that the elders are to anoint the sick with oil and to pray for healing in Jesus' name. James chapter number 5 and verse number 13, he said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, all I can do is stand upon the word of God. But if Jesus said it, amen, that settles it. Somebody said, if Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. If Jesus said it, it's settled. It is forever settled in heaven and earth. Though the grass would wither and the flower would fadeth, the word of God shall stand. For God is not a man that he can lie. That by two immutable things that it was impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. We got to stand upon the word of God. We got to stand upon the things of God. Amen. Praise God. Oh, let's just love him here today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. There's not some wonder-working miraculous. This is not some wonder-working miraculous oil, amen, like holy water that the Catholics use. Amen. This is just regular old, amen, virgin olive oil, amen, that we use. But nevertheless, the Bible says, let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. What was the purpose of the oil? Amen. The oil was symbolic of the Spirit. Amen. When you anoint somebody with oil, amen, it's as of anointing them, amen, with the Spirit of Christ. I'm telling you, when God is involved, anything can happen. When he is involved, everything can happen. There are no impossibilities with him. Amen. There is no lack of power with him. All he asks for us to do is to believe. Let me take this a little step further. Amen. When the minister puts the oil upon his finger, it is upon his finger. And when he anoints your head with oil, it is upon your head and it is still upon his finger. There is a unification of the Spirit between the ministry and the one that is prayed for. Amen. There is unity that is there involved in that. Amen. Divine intervention as it flows through that. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And that's why we do not practice, amen, the doctrine, amen, of those that everybody just lays hands on one another. Amen. If you're not in the ministry and given permission to lay hands upon somebody, amen, keep your hands to yourself. Don't be laying hands, amen, upon people's head. Amen. It's a transfer of spirits. Amen. It's a transfer. I don't want anybody that's full of rebellion, amen, and full of perversion to be laying hands upon my head. Amen. Transferring that spirit of perversion over to me. Amen. It's a holy thing. It's a sacred thing. It is an important thing. And it is taking authority over the individual. And when the minister lays hands upon your head, you ought to have the belief, amen, that he is taking the authority over my ailment, over my sickness. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I shall receive healing today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, this is contagious. Amen. It's powerful. It's powerful. You want to know why it's powerful? It's because many can only speak of it. They've never experienced it. They've never saw it. But you're in a church today that not only have we experienced it, we've saw it. Not only have we saw it, we've experienced it. We have seen the power of God. We have experienced the power of God as it has healed our bodies and raised us up, and hurts have disappeared, and sickness has disappeared. Temperatures have disappeared. Disease has disappeared. All of these things have happened. Amen. Everything is possible. He said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. I believe that when we anoint with the sick with oil and we pray for them in Jesus' name, they shall be healed. Clap your hands unto the Lord today. Amen. You young people need to make that a monument of prayer. Amen. Pray, God, I want to see miracles. God, I want to see healings. Don't be content with mama's story. Don't be content with daddy or grandpa or grandma's story. Amen. You push for it until you've seen it for yourself. Amen. Praise God. Mark chapter number 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Until AD and 91. And then it's going to be over. That's not what it says. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Them that believe. And that tells me that it's all of the believers. Amen. It is not it's not bound by time. It's not bound by a generation. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. Now, faith is not a disposable virtue. It's not a disposable. You cannot throw away faith. And you know what? We've heard preaching like this before. And the only reason that it would not affect all of us in the same way is because it's not mixed with faith. And so you've got to mix it with faith. Praise God. They came unto Jesus and they said, Lord, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. And so faith is not a disposable virtue. The significance of such can be seen even in Hebrews 11 and 6. Amen. When it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God without faith. You've got to have faith. Somebody said, well, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. One person wrote and he said it like this. He said, faith is the substance of things that I hold in my heart, but I don't yet hold in my hand.
Amen. In other words, I've got the belief that it's going to happen. And give me just a little while and I'll show you that it's going to happen. Amen. That is faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When equipping a child of God with armor to stand against the wiles of the devil, the importance of faith is seen in this phrase. Verse 16 of Ephesians, he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. In other words, amen. And most of all, or in all circumstances, at all times, carry, amen, the shield of faith. Carry faith as a shield. Amen. It doesn't necessarily mean that faith is better than righteousness, or that faith is better than, amen, the word, or that faith is better than salvation. He just said, in every situation, in all circumstances, you got to have the shield of faith, because sometimes it's not the fiery darts of the wicked that's trying to take away your salvation. Amen. But it's just trying to take away your faith. But when you're rooted and grounded in the faith and you believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him, not just for salvation, not just for healing, but in every situation, when I need food upon the table, I'm going to Jesus. When I need money to go to the grocery store, I'm going to Jesus. When I need money to pay the bills, I'm going to Jesus. Amen. When I need healing, I'm going to Jesus. When I need salvation, I'm going to Jesus. When I need something in my body, I'm going to Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's what the enemy doesn't want you to understand. The enemy doesn't want you to get a hold of this. Amen. The enemy wants you, amen, to become self-sufficient. The enemy wants you to become, get to the place, amen, that if you've got a headache, the first thing that you do is head for the medicine cabinet. If you got a pain, we're going to the medicine cabinet. If I got an ailment, I'm going to the doctor. I'm preaching to you here right now. Amen. God, take us back to the old landmarks. God, take us back to the place where we say, you know what, I may need to go see a doctor. But before I go to the doctor, I'm going to Dr. Jesus. Amen. Before I go to the hospital and go in that clinic, I'm going to the front to be anointed with oil. Amen. Before I go to the medicine cabinet, I'm going to ask Jesus to help me and to touch me. Before I go anywhere and look for expert information, I'm going to the Lord. I want God to touch me. Where are the days, amen, that the oil bottle runs dry and has to be replenished over and over? That's not the case in today's day and age. Amen. The oil bottle stays full. But God, take me back to that place that I believe. I'll anoint the chickens with oil. I'll anoint the truck with oil. I'll anoint the sick with oil. I'll anoint the paycheck with oil. The bank statement with oil. Oh God, I believe your word. You say, that's foolishness. Well, you know what? To the Greeks, it was foolishness too. Amen. But unto us, it is the power of salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's just love him here tonight. When God was supplying the church with special provisions or gifts of the Spirit beyond the measures of common or ordinary, he would list 9 gifts of the Spirit. And among these, 1 Corinthians 12:9, he would say the gift of faith. The gift of faith. And then when you look directly after that, immediately following faith is the gift of healing and the working of miracles. So in other words, these are often gifts that follow the expressions of faith. Gifts that follow the expressions of faith. Praise God. To understand the significance of the subject, we must look at the subject
from a different perspective, conversely. See that the absence of faith in the heart, Hebrews 3 and 12 describes it as an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3, 18 and 19 says, and among other passages, let us know that some things will never be ours without faith. Revelations 21 and 8, the unbelieving will wind up in hell. So clearly the source or the distributor of faith is God, for He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And when they came unto Jesus, they asked Him to increase their faith. Praise God. Praise God. Now, Hebrews, we like to go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 11 for faith. But if you back up chapter number 10, verse number 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. A lot of times we link this and liken this unto the rapture. But that in order to liken that unto the rapture, you'd have to take that little verse out and put it over all by itself. Because he's talking about after you've done the will of God, you need to wait with patience that you might receive the promise. Because it could be a little while, but he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them to the believing of the saving of the soul. Praise God. Amen. We got to have faith. We got to have faith. And we cannot draw back. We cannot. That doesn't please God. That doesn't please God. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll go get prayed for. Maybe I won't. Well, you know, I don't know. I know that the devil loves to try to berate us and tries to overwhelm us and say, yeah, but what if God doesn't heal you? What if God doesn't come through? What if you have to live with this the rest of your life? Well, devil, that's his choice, not mine. But I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to continue to believe. Praise the Lord. Amen. We could go talk about all kinds of miracles. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 5, and I'm getting ready to try to wrap this thing up, but Acts chapter number 5, the Bible said in verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. Then came a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Acts chapter number 19, verse 11 and 12, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them as well. And so we see the magnitude of faith present in healing, that people, and this was in Jesus' day, they brought them unto Jesus, and I've used the expression before. I mean, can you imagine an individual carrying a lame man up a mountain? I'm just telling you right now, I'm huffing and puffing too much just trying to preach. Don't make me try to carry a lame man up a mountain, because we're both going to fall in the ditch, and we're both going to need Jesus. So I imagine that man carrying a lame man up the mountain. He puts him at the feet of Jesus. Said, you better hope he heals you, because if you don't, you're going to have to figure out another way to get down. And they brought blind men up the mountain. And the Bible says that Jesus healed every one of them. Every one of them. And then here is Peter. And Peter is walking through the city, and people are like, you know what, if we can just get his shadow to overpass him. I mean, they're bringing out everybody, and they're putting them in the streets, putting them on couches, putting them out in the highways and stuff, and here comes Peter, and Peter just walks by, and when his shadow overshadows them, then, bam, they get up, and they're healed, and they're good to go. And they're healed, and the faith that was there in all of that. And then Paul, you know, there's some that thought, you know, what if we could get him in Paul's shadow? He'd probably heal him. Said, I can't do that. Somebody said, give me a handkerchief. Give me a handkerchief. And they took a handkerchief and they put it down and they took oil and they anointed that handkerchief and they prayed over that handkerchief and they went and they gave it to the sick. And when they gave it to the sick, they were healed. Somebody says, oh, no, that's foolishness. That's not real. That's too hard to believe. You've come too late to tell me that. You've come too late to tell me that. I've anointed handkerchiefs. I've had people bring handkerchiefs to me and said, Pastor, would you anoint this handkerchief? I just want, you know, I'm going to take it home and I'm going to put it under my loved one's pillow. They're sick and they're, you know, they're in a bad way. And so we prayed over a handkerchief and they took it and slipped it under a pillow. They slept on it all night. Bam. Just like that. They were healed. Micah, what was wrong with you? He had just come out of the hospital. He had been in the hospital for what, 6 days? No, this is the hospital. He had that tachycardia. So his leg, he was healed in Colorado Springs. He had been in the hospital for like 6 days. And God healed him. The doctors could not figure out what was wrong with him. They ran all kinds of blood tests on him. And his right arm completely, or his left arm completely ran out of blood. They had to start using the other one. And they just had, that's just a joke. But anyways, they just took so much blood out of him, and they were running all of these cultures and stuff, and all these cultures were coming back negative, 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 negative. And his white blood cell count had fallen, his red blood cell count had fallen, his platelet count had fallen. And the doctor pulls mom and dad out into the hallway, and he said, all right, let me just tell you what's going on. First of all, I've ordered a hematologist, and I've ordered an infectious disease doctor. And I just encourage you to get to know them really, really well, because you're going to be here for a really, really long time. And so we're running some of these other cultures, and that are coming back, and we want to find something, because if we don't find something, basically we're going in for exploratory surgery. I said, well, what do you think that it is? Well, he said, you know, honestly, leukemia, cancer. And so, I mean, that'll hit you like a ton of bricks. Yeah, that'll hit you like a ton of bricks. And so we began to pray, began to seek God. Had a minister and his wife. They came up to the hospital. We prayed for him. And there were others that were praying for him. We went back to the church, started a prayer chain, and started praying, seeking the face of God. The doctors never found out what was wrong with him. All of a sudden, his fever broke. His fever was running. When we took him in, I think his fever was 105. And so all of a sudden, I mean, they had him on all kinds of medications, alternating medications, trying to keep it down. They couldn't break it, couldn't get anything to happen and such. And so after praying for him and stuff and everything, bam, it broke, gone, just like that. And within a day, bam, he's out of the hospital and he's at home and stuff. Then he had tachycardia syndrome and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And so he couldn't walk. And every time he would get up, he was dizzy, and he had either, you know, run into the front of the wall and or pass out or something and stuff. And so one of his friends from Mississippi, that church was praying for him. And so they anointed a handkerchief. They anointed a handkerchief and brought it to him, and they gave it to him. And you stick it under your pillow, stuck it under his pillow and began to sleep, and God healed him. So you've come too late to tell me that these things don't work. But somebody's not just got to have faith. Somebody's got to step out of the boat and start walking on water. And I hear all the time, well, you know what? I just don't want the attention. Well, then suffer. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, we say, you know what, I just don't want the attention. I don't want somebody to think something's wrong with me. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I don't want this. But you know, somewhere or another, this is what all of this is for. This is why that he laid over the whipping post.
and gave himself for them to whip his back and to beat his back with that cat of nine tails and to pull the flesh out and off of him as it ripped his body. And the blood that flowed down his body. And they would say that even his organs would be showing through that. And how that he hung upon that cross. And the blood flowed down that cross and into the ground. It was for our healing. This means too much for us just to take an eraser and to erase it out of our Bibles. It means too much for us to take the page and to tear it out. It means too much for us to take the oil and to go put it in the trash can somewhere and become more progressive, amen, than all of that. I still believe in old-fashioned prayer, and I'm standing in defense of praying for the sick. I believe that when we anoint with oil, the power of faith shall save the sick. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God here tonight. I feel the desire of God here tonight. Amen. As God begins to speak and say, don't let my stripes go for naught. I was thinking of your sickness when I took those stripes upon my back. I was thinking of your ailment. I was thinking of your hurt. I had you in mind while I laid across that whipping post and let them lay that cat of nine tails upon my back. I did it so that you could be healed. I did it so that you could receive healing for that. Somebody stand in defense of praying for the sick and saying, we're still going to pray for the sick in this church. We're still going to anoint with oil in this church. You don't have to come sick and leave sick. You don't have to come with a problem and leave with a problem. If you're tired of your problem, you can come to the front and we'll anoint you with oil and God will help you. Oh, Jesus, let's pray. Let's pray. Amen. I want you to hear me tonight. I want you to hear me tonight. I don't care if you come up to the front every service. Amen. That's your faith. Amen. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Amen. If you got to come every service, amen. But don't sit there in a world of hurt. Don't sit there in a world of pain. Don't sit there, amen. Amen. Sick in your body. Amen. Some people would rather text in and say, Pastor, I'm not going to be there tonight because I don't feel well. Amen. My mom would drag us to church, amen, and say, get prayed for, and now you're going to feel better. Mom would call the pastor, and the pastor would come and pray, amen, because she believed that God was going to heal. Do we still believe it? Do we still believe it? Come on, I'm telling you tonight, God cares. God cares. God cares. God cares about your pain. God cares about your sickness. God cares about your fevered brow. God cares about the doctor's report. God cares about all of these things. And God is saying, hey, I already took care of it. I've already paid the price. I've already shed my blood. I've already taken the stripes. By my stripes, ye are healed. Come on, the devil has started war against our faith. The devil's doing everything that he can to wreck our faith, to diminish our faith. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, turn loose of the faith of this church in Jesus' name. It won't be long and testimonies are going to come forth. Hey man, weeping may endure for a moment, but joy is coming in the morning. There's going to be testimonies that are going to come out of all of this. And the devil thought he was going to destroy with depression, but oh, the sun's going to come up and going to bring a brand new day upon the face of his church.